Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I mean, I don't know if there is or not. I don't know. I never thought about it. You know, maybe I'm off, but I don't know. Nothing comes to the forefront of my mind.
You don't call them sinners?
I never thought about it, but I probably don't.
Give us some men who know the truth and who will declare the truth and who will declare from the housetops that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Knew it. This is Wretched Radio. You are the first to hear what I have known all along. The next president of the United States is going to be Dr. John MacArthur. That's right. Here's the deal. You see, this whole COVID thing and shutting down churches, that was done with some backdoor dealings so that churches could be shut down and the government's hand would look oppressive, so that Dr. John MacArthur, who's in cahoots with them, could emerge as a champion, defying the government, opening up church, worshiping the Lord on Sunday, so the president would call him. And on that conversation, even though it was reported that Donald Trump was just wink, wink, thanking him for defying the government and leading the way, that's code for you're going to be the next president. Mark my words. And if you don't think that's crazy, welcome to contemporary evangelical Christianity, where apparently all kinds of black helicopter theories, conspiracy theories abound a lot. Are you familiar with a massive movement that appears to be sort of religious called QAnon? Q is a fellow, apparently in the military, and he's anonymous, don't you know? And this is a website, and websites, it's proliferated, that have once been considered fringe are now becoming mainstream. And they are offering all kinds of conspiracy theories, mingled sometimes syncretistically with some Bible verses, to let people know what's really going on in the nation's capital. So, for instance, there are conspiracy theories like 5G radio waves are used for mind control, or George Floyd's murder is a hoax, Bill Gates related to the devil. Okay, so not all of them maybe are conspiracy. The mass can kill you, the germ theory isn't real, and there might be something to Pizzagate after all. And this movement is growing, and there are a number of evangelicals who appear to be buyers of what they're selling. Named after Q, who posts anonymously, hence QAnon, the online bulletin board 4chan, I don't know how these things work. QAnon alleges that President Donald Trump and military officials are working to expose a deep state pedophile ring with links to Hollywood, the media, and the Democratic Party. Since its first mention some 3 years ago, the theory has drawn adherents looking for a clear way to explain recent disorienting global events. The world is confusing, and apparently people are reading these posts from Q Anonymous and other sources who have put together what we would call conspiracy theories to explain, aha, this is what's going on. And apparently evangelicals are not immune to their lure, and they're following it a lot. It is no longer fringe. This particular article says, with support from Trump and other elected officials, I don't know if that's accurate or not, it has gained credibility both on the web and in the offline world. I don't know what that is. But QAnon is more than a political ideology. It's a spiritual worldview that co-opts many Christian-sounding ideas to promote verifiably false claims about actual human beings. Now, this, by the way, was from Christian Headlines. QAnon has features of Christianity, using Bible verses to urge adherents to stand firm against evil elites. One charismatic church based in Indiana hosts two-hour Sunday services showing how Bible prophecies confirm Q's messages. Its leaders tell the congregation to stop watching mainstream media, even the conservative ones, in favor of QAnon YouTube channels and the QMAP website. This appears to not be the first time that evangelicals tend to be, I think, a fertile field for conspiracy theories.
Well, if you use Bible verses, it's got to be true.
Well, that's the challenge to conspiracy theories, is that there can be some sort of truth, and they can't be so preposterous that they're just out of hand dismissed. There's something inside of them that's probably true, but is the whole notion true? Is it all true? Is it something believable? And is it something that we should be spending time on? 5G networks caused the coronavirus, and Tom Hanks became a Greek citizen recently because they think that maybe he and other celebrities are pedophiles. Just telling you what's going on. Q followers spread conspiracy theories such as John F. Kennedy Jr. is still alive, Mother Teresa was a child trafficker, and Dr. Anthony Fauci is her son.
Just connecting the dots.
Well, there's a resemblance, you could say, but that doesn't mean nothing. The movement's prophecies come from an anonymous account, Q, presumed to be someone high up in the U.S. military intelligence, who posts cryptic messages called Q drops. Not just about military intelligence, but it's about Satanism among celebrities and bloodletting of children, quoting the book of Revelation, emphasizing symbolism, noticing, for example, 17 boxes were sitting behind Trump in a press conference. Q is the 17th letter of the alphabet.
Oh, boy.
Dun, dun, dun. So in researching this, I noticed something that was glaring and obvious. People were lamenting that there is not a lot of chatter going on out there in evangelical churches, blogs, posts, websites, radio programs. What is the problem with following these theories? Please note, I suspect there could be a little bit of, there's drips and drabs of truth in these things. In fact, let's just even say some of them, they're absolutely, yes. But is there a problem for the evangelical in expending energy, emotional energy, mental energy, and time on conspiracy theories? I think there's a Bible verse that could help us a lot. 1 Timothy 1. It's interesting that Paul never really identifies what's in view when he talks about these arguments over genealogies. He says that there's people that are spending time talking about genealogies. Now, we speculate that it was like, hey, I'm descended from, he's descended from, your descent, but we don't really know for sure. Nevertheless, maybe that's why he kept it a bit cryptic so that it could apply to our context today. 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 7. I left Macedonia. People are teaching wrong doctrine. Don't let people waste time in endless speculation over myths and spiritual pedigrees. For these things only cause arguments. They don't actually help people. So these are idle speculations. These are time wasters because they really don't have any impact, any meaning. There's not much value to them, but people consume their day just fighting over these things. And Paul says, stop it. And I think that I would use that verse to take its lead to say, I think that's what we need to do with conspiracy theories. And I'd like to make the case why. What motivates an evangelical's interest in conspiracy theories? I get it. You know what I think a part of it is?
What's that?
This is just me. And I remember this specifically. When Barack Obama became president, there were all kinds of theories going on about his private life, his dealings with, his connections to, and you'd hear them as like, yeah, good, maybe this will, he'll get out of the office. And it provided some hope, but it was all false in the end. And even if it was true, it came to nothing. But there's this desire, yeah, I need an explanation. I think fear is a motivator. I don't know what's going on. I need an explanation for stuff. I need to know the future is another motivator. And the answer to the desire to know the future is you don't need to. That's God's. Today's got enough worries of its own, said whom? I think this has a bit of a Gnostic element. I'm on the inside. See, I get what's going on. Other people don't. I think, and you can examine your own heart for this, because I will tell you, I've heard some of these theories and I've gone, really? In almost kind of a hopeful way, because it might bring somebody to an end that we don't particularly care for in power. Yeah, that seems to make sense. I like that idea. I get the appeal, but I wonder how much of it is gossip-driven? How much of it is putting the worst construction and not the best construction on everything? How much of it is gotcha? Ah, That's it. Gotcha. I think that those are all of the things that motivate us to have a lure toward conspiracy theories. To hear these things, whether it's Alex Jones, whether it's QAnon, whoever the source happens to be, and I'm not trying to annoy anybody with this, I'm encouraging us to examine our hearts, because I think that Paul would say to us, these idle speculations, these things that burn up your time, don't do it because they have a deleterious effect. They're not good for you. You're going to fight with one another over these things. Because ultimately, I think the implication is you're never going to solve it. You're never going to get to the bottom of these things. Did we fake the moon landing? If we did, we're never going to find out about it. Or there'll always be so much controversy swirling, we're never going to know. And we didn't, by the way, but nevertheless. Let's examine our hearts and ask, what motivates my interest in these things? And if it contains any of those elements, fear, a desire to know the future, kind of a Gnostic interest, I like gossip, putting the worst construction on everything. It's finally an explanation that apparently the Bible doesn't have for what's going on in the world, that maybe, just maybe, we need to put an end to endless QAnon theories. This is Wretched Radio. And now a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
129 people commit suicide in the United States each and every day. We all know someone who is in desperate need of help. And as Christians, we have the answer that the world fails to provide. 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide is Wretched's newest resource, and it tackles this very topic. Next month, September, is National Suicide Awareness Month. Would you visit wretched.org/13 to order your copies of 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide, and then commit to handing them out to as many lost and hurting people as you can. Every year, 1 million people take their own lives. As a matter of fact, did you know suicide is the third leading cause of death among millennials? It's such an epidemic around the world, and as Christians, we have the word of life, and we should share it with a world that desperately needs it. 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide. Available now at wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
Don't you just hate it when somebody says, oh, you gotta see this video? Well, then prepare to hate this because, oh, you gotta see this video. I'm looking at poor people in Eastern Europe receiving care packages from the Tomorrow Clubs. You're familiar with this amazing ministry in Eastern Europe in poor nations. They bring the gospel to little teeny tiny villages, can hardly call them towns. The kids gather, they get loved on, they get treats, and they get the gospel. But now, due to the COVID pandemic, poor people are even poorer. The Tomorrow Clubs are responding in tangible acts of kindness, putting together care packages to bring to the parents of these kids, and with it, they're bringing the gospel. Would you please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched? See the work that they're doing and consider supporting the effort to bring the gospel to Eastern Europe. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your reformers. John Wycliffe, called the Morning Star of the Reformation, was a professor at Oxford in the 1300s who preached against papal authority in matters of doctrine, politics, and church practice. After his death, his bones were dug up, burned, and spread over the river. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is not a prophecy. It's just a common sense prediction. In give or take 30 or 45 seconds, you are going to say, oh, no, he didn't. This is Wretched Radio, the Masters Academy International. These are training centers around the globe, 16 centers training men to rightly divide the word of truth, to tear down strongholds in order to lead God's people to truth. And these training centers equip men to fill empty pulpits and to lead their congregation via expository preaching. And so they spend their time teaching them homiletics. They teach them hermeneutics so that these men can rightly divide the word. And they also teach them all kinds of potential conspiracy theories so that these men can be aware of what might actually happen potentially someday in the deep state. And you say, Friel, that's ridiculous, and I say you're absolutely correct, because if you were trying to train somebody to rightly divide the word of truth and teach people what is important, you wouldn't include time wasters like conspiracy theories. And that is why you should support the Masters Academy International. That's right, the Masters Academy International needs your support so that they can equip men to tear down strongholds, including conspiracy theories, and rightly divide the word of a truth. You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor. And if you're thinking, did you just smash some sort of plug for a ministry with a swipe about people who follow conspiracy theories? Yes. Yes, I just did. That was a twofer for you. I get the appeal to conspiracy theories. I get it. It's interesting. It's fascinating. How do we decide if we should be listening to these things or not? I have, believe it or not, given this a fair amount of thought because I couldn't find anything online that I could swipe. I guess nobody apparently has done a whole lot of thinking on this. So consider, for your consideration, these considered words about conspiracy theories. I believe that the Christian life, this is my take, your mileage may vary. Rather than trying to figure out which ones are more likely, less likely, which, now that one's really kooky, the airplane's into the tower, whatever, this one's good, that one's bad. I would like to suggest to you, we turn them off. Totally. End it. Done. Why? Because I do believe that Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 1 that we can have idle speculations that lead to nothing but disunity and fighting, and they're idle. They're time wasters, and there is work to be done. There are important things to do. There is actual truth to be digested. There are things that we can know from the mind of God for certain. Why do we want to spend our time on endless speculations? Could some of them be true? Yes. Might they be entirely true? Sure. But to what end? What is it going to profit us if we somehow have to glean through a bunch of conspiracy theories to figure out what's really going on or not? I do believe they are tantalizing. They are titillating. They are very intriguing because you want something to... This place is going nuts! I need an explanation. The Bible has our explanation. The world is going nuts because it is nuts. Is there a conspiracy? Is there a deep state? Are there plots and plans being made right now to undermine education, the arts, the sciences, all of that? Yeah, there are. It's led by the devil. I know that. That is not a conspiracy theory. That is a biblical fact. I know that's going on. Is the devil using people? Absolutely, he is. And that is why you and I must train our brains to keep stuff out. World system conversations are littered with lies. I doubt there is any conspiracy theory that will ever be fully correct. When we consume what is the world is discussing and talking about without it being an entirely biblical conversation, we are consuming lies, and we need to be filling our brains with truth. We need all the help we can get, and I don't think conspiracy theories contribute to that. Heard a sermon Sunday on 2 Corinthians 10, if you recall, Paul is dealing with the Corinthians, and he's very concerned about what is going on in their world. And he's very concerned that false teachers are getting in and they're making inroads. So consider his words in a 21st century context and what's going on in our minds today. How much stuff we can get smashed into our brains. How many messages that we can consume from false teachers and from the world. This, if you recall, is the satire section, but this is no spoof. Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but when being absent am bold. So he writes tough letters, but he's sweet when he's face to face with them. I beg you that when I'm present, I may not be bold with the confidence by which I intend to be. I don't want to come storm in Corinth. This is his fourth letter. There were two others that are lost. First and Second Corinthians are really Second and Third Corinthians. Second and Fourth Corinthians, really. And he's saying, I don't want to come. I don't want to be tough when I get there. So listen up to what I'm about to tell you. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The big oomph there is we're in a war. We're in a battle for what? Our minds. This is the noetic effect of the fall. We see this in the garden. God creates male and female, created he them. What does God do? Even in their unfallen state, in their perfect state, if you prefer, he spoke to them. What is the implication? We need God's word. Even when we are not tainted by sin, we still need God's word. But we know that there was a fall. So how much more do we need God's word after the fall? Third, consider our current environment. We war against three things, the world, the flesh, and the devil. How do these three conspire? The devil, who is the father of lies, he can't do anything but lie. That's the tussle Jesus was in John chapter 8 with the Pharisees. Your father is a liar. Everything that comes out of him is a lie, lie, lie. And he runs the world system, religions, ideologies, false systems, false beliefs, anything that is against God. He runs it. So, of course, it's loaded with lies. That's our environment. And that is what we drink in constantly. Lies and lies and lies. And what does Paul say? You need to tear down those strongholds. You need to get rid of those things. You need to bust them up. And he uses military language, strong military language. It's time to bring out the battering rams. It is time to crush those walls that have been built up by the lies of the world system. Now, let's consider conspiracy theories. Who knows if they're true? I get it. They're interesting. And it's like, oh, that could. But they're built on speculation, which we are told in 1 Timothy 1 to avoid. And if we're consuming them, what are we doing? What are we drinking in? I think we're drinking in things that aren't true. And I think that we are not getting what we need, which is a brain that's controlled by God. Question, what will be accomplished by spending time guessing the future of conspiracy theories?
Nothing.
Question number two, can I do anything about it if it is true? Question number three, won't truth be brought into the light eventually, even if it's on Judgment Day? Answer yes.
Yes.
What are the downsides to conspiracy theories? I have a list. Division. That's what Paul warns about in 1 Timothy 1. It's going to cause division. Two, suspicion. It's going to increase your thinking. Everybody is up to, they are doing things. They are up to stuff. And we're going to see people in these covert operations. And it's going to foster fear. Do you need more fear these days? It's a time waster. We need you in church. We need you leading your family. You need to be in the word, tearing down those strongholds in your brains. Four or five, I don't know where we're at on the list. It's going to rob you of joy when you're constantly hearing the whirl of helicopter blades in the background. You're going to be robbed of joy. And it could lead you to make some bad decisions. A lot of people have bought some really bad land in Utah. Those are the down. Are there any upsides? Yeah, I thought of a couple. You would be the first to know if they turn out to be true. You would then have the right to say, I told you so, if indeed it comes to fruition. But that's about all I could come up with. And I've got to tell you, those upsides pale in comparison to all the downsides. We have all we can do to tear down the strongholds that are in our own brains, to add lies, potential lies, even if it might have some truth in it, to our brains, I think is to help us to not grow in Christ-likeness, to not have joy, to not be able to have strength when these wacky things are happening in the world. And finally, it causes us to look elsewhere beside the Bible for the explanation. We know what's going on. The devil is at war with anything good against Christ and his people. We know that conspiracy is true. Therefore, I conclude, we just don't need any others. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Higgs. Well, no agreement was reached yesterday in the dispute between John MacArthur and his Grace Community Church and the County of Los Angeles over COVID-19 restrictions. Government officials are citing the court's help to enforce a public health restriction on the church. According to court records, a hearing was held in the Superior Court of California yesterday before Judge Mitchell Beckloff. The church filed 18 pages of new documentation defending its position, and the county filed 8 pages of documentation restating its case against the church. At Monday's hearing, the county hoped the judge would issue a temporary restraining order against the church holding indoor worship services in defiance of the public health policy of the county. The church hoped that the judge would not issue such an order and instead would rule that the county health department's regulations are not applicable. The judge did neither. Instead, he took the county's request under submission, meaning he will issue a decision at some future date after more consideration is given. The next scheduled hearing on the original lawsuit filed by the church against the county and the countersuit filed by the county against the church is slated for September the 4th. Well, one thing Democrats are not talking about is Joe Biden's radical pro-abortion platform. While repeatedly bringing up compassion for the vulnerable and his devotion to his Catholic faith, Biden has quietly embraced the billion-dollar abortion industry's demands for the unregulated, unrestricted murder of unborn babies in abortions paid for by taxpayers. But as the Free Beacon is reporting, Biden's newfound support for taxpayer-funded abortions was not discussed at all during the Democratic National Convention last week, and the word abortion was never even brought up. Kristen Day, the executive director of Democrats for Life of America, told The Beacon that it's because even many pro-choice voters do not want taxpayer-funded abortions. The 2020 Democratic Party platform not only supports funding for Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, but also direct taxpayer funding for abortions by ending the Hyde Amendment. Biden, like many Democrats, used to support the pro-life amendment. Last summer, however, he caved into pressure from the billionaire-funded abortion lobby and promised to end it if elected. Biden also said one of his first acts as president would be to restore funding to Planned Parenthood, which murders more than 340,000 unborn babies each year. Hospitals in China's Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region were directed to perform late-term abortions and kill newborn babies as a way to enforce the communist country's family planning rules. Hospital workers are saying that hospital maternity wards have created policies that limit Uyghur citizens and other minority groups to 3 children in rural areas and 2 in urban regions. And Uyghurian women are expected to wait several years between births. If they don't abide by that policy, doctors will, quote, kill the babies after they've been born. The government's efforts are a direct means of genetically reducing the population. More Wretched Radio still to come. I'm Jimmy Higgs.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's faithfulness. Since God is truth, He has no desire to break His promises. Since He is omnipotent, nothing can cause Him to break promises. Since His promises are based on His eternal plan, God will always keep them. Scripture called God a rock, a fortress, and a bulwark, never failing because He is faithful. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, a demonstration of what I was talking about last week here on Wretched Radio. Mentioned for me in my house, we've put a bit of a hold on the Fox Network consumption because it just doesn't do good for us. It doesn't help us be happy. Forget joy. We can become really crabby, cranky, and conspiratorial. And we can see everything as just doomsday. Everything is just blah, 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 breaking awful. And so we decided we just don't need to consume that. Having said that, Tucker Carlson has absolutely been delivering monologues for his opening segment about 15 or 18 minutes long. Kind of unprecedented. One guy, little bit of video clips, but overall a dude, a talking head. Wow, is he writing some punchy stuff. This dude is savage, and yet he delivers it with a smile. For your consideration, this is not an endorsement of everything he says or even how he says it, but I can't help but wonder if we can't learn a little something from Tucker Carlson. Listen to his delivery. His words are scalding. I mean, these are blistering words, and yet in a way where you don't get the sense the guy is a jerk. And that's the balance that you and I need to find as we speak the truth in love. We want to be truth tellers, but we don't want people to go, wow, you're just really hateful.
We're on day three of the convention. The question is, how's it going so far? Well, former Democratic candidate Marianne Williamson has been following it closely. She describes the experience as, quote, like binge watching a Marriott commercial. That's about right. Pretty unappetizing.
That's about right. Pretty unappetizing. Pass the ketchup.
Platitudes heaped upon cliches, smothered in a thick sauce of self-righteousness and stupidity. No normal person could eat what the DNC is serving this week. We tune in because it's our job. So far, the main excitement has been watching just how shamelessly they can lie. The goal appears to be complete reality inversion. Professional rich lady Michelle Obama told America that she was oppressed. The criminally negligent governor of New York bragged about how well he handled the coronavirus. And then Jeffrey Epstein's old pal Bill Clinton showed up to speak as the party's moral voice.
Now, that is delivered with a smile, and that was absolutely blistering. Hoofta, I'm telling you.
Bill Clinton with the moral advice.
And what exactly is the inversion that he's talking about? It is what is described in Isaiah chapter 5. Everything is flipped. Everything is dipsy-doodle. Your entire world right now, Christian, is you are in Alice in Wonderland right now. That is your world. And I'm afraid we don't want to breathe in this air, but we need to recognize its stench, and we better start realizing what we are dealing with. And if we believe that somehow political tactics, social movements are going to fix the thinking of the world, we're very confused. We need something supernatural. Do we have anything?
There's been a low-grade thrill in watching all of this, we'll admit. At the very least, you've got to tip your hat to their audacity. They don't tell small lies in the Democratic Party. They go all the way. You catch them stealing your wallet, and they arrest you for theft. And then they give you a lecture about how crime doesn't pay. To longtime students of the liberal mind, none of this is new. The left long ago built an entire political party based on the Freudian principle of transference. They displaced their own sins onto you, thereby cleansing their consciences and allowing them to seize the moral high ground. It's a clever trick. But at this point, it's an old trick. We know how it's done. The public certainly seems to have figured it out. Last night, the Democrats' convention lost in the ratings to a variety show called America's Got Talent. A pair of jugglers from the Philippines, brothers wearing glow-in-the-dark headbands, did a yo-yo demonstration on stage. And that outrated Dr. Jill Biden.
Oh, boy.
And yet, you kind of wonder if somebody on the receiving end of these body blows would go, I'd have dinner with him. He seems pleasant enough.
A lot. We could have told you that was going to happen. Only Nicole Wallace wants to not watch another speech by Dr. Jill Biden. And by the way, what kind of doctor is she? Some of us aren't feeling well. We never learned that answer either. What the Democrats should have done is put the rest of their proceedings on TV. That would get an audience.
Now, this is worth noting.
Most of the actual convention events take place during daytime hours. The networks don't cover them. You have no idea they ever happened. There's a reason for that, obviously. But what a loss for the viewing public. If you saw what they were saying during the day, you would never tune into primetime again. In fact, you might flee the country.
This is worth listening to because this is what you did not see last week with the Democratic National Convention. The party that is radically pro-choice, the party that is radically anti-God, that is pro any sort of sexual proclivity anybody can concoct, they're all for it. That is that party. And that is only the tip of the iceberg, delivered in a satirical way with a smile on his face, nevertheless giving you some insight into the party that many evangelicals would tell you, it's okay to vote for them. You can do that because there are other issues besides abortion, don't you know? Besides, there hasn't been much progress on the issue anyway. Oh, really?
For the last 3 days, we have watched all of it. In a moment, we'll show you what we found. We want to begin this evening by bringing you a moment of prayer that broke out at the convention on Monday. A pastor called Frederick Haynes took the microphone. As you listen to this, compare it to what you might hear in your own church.
You had the nerve to build a wall while at the same time you have in the harbor there in New York a Statue of Liberty saying, give me your tired, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Jesus will say, America, if you don't get your act together, you may well go to hell.
To hell! Vote for Biden, doomed sinners, or you're going to hell. That is a pretty straightforward message. Was Jonathan Edwards ever clearer than that?
Whoa, that's sharp. That's what's presented during the hours you didn't get to watch the Democratic convention, but there's more.
Ray Falwell? Despite what you may have heard, it is the Democratic Party that is the hotbed of religious extremism these days. Pastor Go to Hell Haynes, for example, is a fan of Minister Louis Farrakhan. These are men of faith, just not your faith. But religion is not the only institution the Democrats are reconfiguring at their convention. The Pledge of Allegiance could use an overhaul, too, they've decided, and they're giving it one. Watch the new version.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and for the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, someday.
Someday. Right. Someday, this could be a good country. Someday, if we're in charge. Otherwise, it's an awful place. Without us at the helm, America is terrible and not worth saving. You've heard this before. Michelle Obama once suggested it. The first time she was proud of her country was when her family got to run it. But that was nuanced by the standards of today. At the Democratic convention this week, a transgender rights activist called Linda LaBeja just came out and said it explicitly.
I've never felt American. I don't know the Pledge of Allegiance. Those are not my systems. The way that is not my
president. By the way, if you're listening to this and you're going inkling in the back of your head, hey, critical theory. This sounds like critical theory. It's the thing that Skinny Boy has been talking about now for months. Hey, what do you know? They're actually displaying critical theory. The white systems all need to be torn down. This America is not good. It is all bad because it was founded by all bad white people. Therefore, we need to break it, bust it up to create a new. And until that day, they won't say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Those are not their systems. Donald Trump is not their president, meaning this is not their country as long as they dislike the guy in the White House. So it's all or nothing for them, and right now they're trending toward nothing, which is why they apparently turned over the DNC's stage directions to Colin Kaepernick. Watch.
Many of the videos and pictures you're about to see were recorded before COVID, which is why the kids are not social distancing. However, the audio was recorded over the past month. You may rise or kneel if you are able, for your preference.
You can kneel. So if you watch this stuff for long enough, and we have, it's pretty easy to forget that it's pretty fringy, actually. Look at the polls. Most people don't agree with this. Most Americans like their country. That's why they live here. And a lot of them display that affection by standing for the national anthem. It seems like a small thing, but it means quite a bit to people. Americans have died in battle to protect our national symbols. That is a talking point, yes, but it's not just a talking point. It really happened. But they don't know anything about that at the Democratic National Convention, and they don't think that your kids ought to know about it either. And that's why they've endorsed erasing American history.
May this moment in history manifest more monuments like these to replace the old ones that no one really cares to see anymore.
Tear it down. It's all got to go. That's critical theory. That's happening at the Democratic National Convention. It did last week. It's still going on, and it's made its way into the church. So if you have been perhaps annoyed with me talking about critical theory so much, this is at least in part why. And the movement inside of evangelical Christianity to embrace this is a politically driven one, that it is now okay for you to vote for a party that takes out under God from the little pledge that we used to recite as children and wants to kill as many kids as possible. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for spending part of your day listening to us here at Wretched Radio. You don't realize just how appreciative we are of your time. We would also be very, 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 very appreciative if you would prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner with us here at Wretched. We're members in good standing with the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Now, what that means is that we can't waste your money, even if we wanted to, which we don't. What we want to do is to reach millions of people all over the world by preaching the gospel, by equipping people to preach the gospel, and by strengthening the local church. And we need for you to prayerfully consider helping us financially and prayerfully. And you can know when you become a monthly partner with Wretched that 83% of every dollar you give goes right directly to ministry. You can visit wretched.org/donate to get more information. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
What does $28 buy these days? Well, for starters, it buys an ultrasound. More importantly, it buys a life.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
That is one grateful mommy, and I'm certain it will be one grateful baby who was given life because you provided a free ultrasound through preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. A mommy who is choosing the termination of her own child will choose life. Will you please consider supporting this very efficient and life-saving ministry that preaches the gospel? Preborn.org/wretched.
Is an hour of Wretched a day just not enough for you? Can you not get enough of good theology and mediocre comedy? Do you want to see the man behind the voice that you hear on the radio? Well, then head on over to wretched.org/TV and watch hundreds of hours of our Wretched TV. Our 30-minute program is jam-packed full of topics. You'll hear topics ranging from theology to evolution to pneumatology to evangelism and so much more. So grab some popcorn, find a comfy spot on the couch, and turn on some Wretched TV. And a quick thank you to our gospel partners. Without you, there is no Wretched, so we are eternally grateful. If you want to help support Wretched so we can stay on the air, visit wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate. But don't forget to visit wretched.org/TV for your daily dose of Wretched. That's wretched.org/TV. Wretched.org/TV.
Books of the Bible. Because God's people disobeyed, he sent them into exile. The book of Ezra tells us of Israel's return under Ezra's leadership and preaching, and how Israel underwent a period of intense reformation. When you experience divine chastisement, look to Ezra to see that God's discipline is meant for your restoration and reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What did you miss? Because, well, they didn't actually air this on prime time at the Democratic National Convention.
I'm going to go to someone now called J-Mai. You should know that J-Mai's preferred pronouns are they, them. According to their biography at Wake Forest University, J-Mai is, quote, a black Vietnamese transgender non-binary gender transcendent mermaid queen king currently living out their ever-evolving truths in Winston-Salem, end quote. Got it? Okay, now listen to J-Mai.
That is Tucker Carlson. This is Wretched Radio. And that was from last week's Democratic National Convention. Tucker Carlson, I believe, is the most sharply satirical. I'm not always saying that he stays within the lines of biblical Christianity with some of the content, but wow, does he deliver tough stuff with a smile. Something to be learned. When you're critical, it doesn't need to be caustic. Sean Hannity, sorry, little tickle in the throat right there. Bringing to light what goes on at the Democratic convention when nobody is watching. A mermaid fish queen or something like that, given a platform at a major political party in, oh wait, guys, I'm sorry. What is the name of this place? What is this country that we're in right now?
The U.S. of
A. Ah, sorry. I forgot it because it's so unrecognizable these days.
Why can't folks imagine a world without the cops? Why can't folks imagine a world without prisons? Why can't people expand their imaginations to include community care, to include an abolitionist future? I'm talking about like for real abolition, not just watered down DNC version of abolition. We're talking about abolishing the police. We're talking about abolishing ICE. We're talking about abolishing prisons.
Yeah, we're talking about abolishing the police, abolishing ICE, abolishing all prisons. We're imagining a world like that. We're bringing it to you.
Yep.
You're starting to get some sense why they're not putting this stuff on TV. Democrats and their faithful lackeys, the media, have been telling you for weeks that none of this is real. You're imagining it. Democrats don't really want to take the cops away and leave you defenseless. Yes, they are voting to take billions from police departments across the country. That's not really defunding. It's redistributing. Not a big deal. Calm down. But now, Jay Mai shows up and lets an entire animal shelter of cats out of the DNC's bag and lets you know that, yes, all your fears are true. We're doing exactly what you think we're doing. The gender-transcendent mermaid queen kings are here, and it's a whole new deal now. Get psyched. And be sure to warn your daughters. No more field hockey scholarships to Bowdoin for them. No. There are boys on the field. Democrats want biological men to compete with girls in sports. Most parents of girls think that's nuts because it is, and terrible for girls because, obviously. But at the Democratic National Convention, it's not even questioned. It's just business as usual. Watch transgender person Marissa Richmond explain.
Before we get to the next transgendered person, please note the reason that we are sharing some of this, not just because, well, it's pretty entertaining, let's be honest, but also this is the party that evangelicals are encouraging evangelicals to support. Don't you see? You've got to stop being a one-issue voter. There are other things more important. Specifically, there are racial issues to be considered that are far more urgent than that of the slaughtering of children in the womb. They can't do anything. They don't do anything about it. So forget using life as your litmus test issue. It's okay now. You can vote for somebody in the pro-choice party who opposes all federal and state laws that prohibit or restrict all abortions, that supports restoring taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood, that supports the repeal of Hyde Amendment, which prohibits federal funds from being used for abortion service, which supports medically accurate LGBTQA+ inclusive age-appropriate sex education. Love that. How's about the government paying so that a man can, under the delusion of thinking that he's actually a girl, can get surgery done? By the way, the story in Texas, we left this story on a positive note. An 8-year-old boy, James Younger, he apparently made some sort of reference, apparently, according to his mother, that he likes the idea of being a girl or wearing dresses. So she has been encouraging a very public transitioning of her son. Dad ain't so thrilled about it. And so he petitioned the courts. Guess what? He won. Guess what? She appealed. And so a Dallas judge took away the claim to his son's medical, psychological, and psychiatric care, giving that power solely to James' mother. Please note, this would be something that the Democratic platform would endorse heartily. This is the way it's got to be. We've got to let 8-year-olds be 8-year-olds. And furthermore, we've got to let 60-year-olds imagine that they're 8-year-olds, and they actually are. Because that's the new push, by the way. Ageistic or something. You think you're a different age. Do you think any pedophile might take advantage of that concept?
Yep.
Of course they will. I mean, the push is on. This whole Netflix thing, Cuties, was that the name of the show? Cuties.
Yeah, it's the new show that they're pushing, but they've somewhat apologized for the graphics, but they're still going to air it.
Sure. And it's the idea that a Muslim girl needs to be able to explore her own sexuality. Therefore, we're going to show her doing that in a twerking competition to also expose how awful our society can be when it comes to the treatment of young girls. So we're going to show that so that you can understand that girls are being treated poorly. That somehow worked in a Netflix boardroom. Didn't play so well on the internet. They did apologize. They shut that down, but I wouldn't expect anything less than a hearty endorsement from the Democratic platform, because they are for all of those things. And there is a push for people to vote for that party. And as long as we're taking an aside, earlier Tucker Carlson had mentioned Jerry Falwell. I bring this up because this is a bad story that's gotten worse. Jerry Falwell Jr., who has been asked to take an indefinite leave by the Board of Trustees because, well, there were a number of things that led up to it, but one in particular, he posted a picture of himself. It was inappropriate. I'd prefer to not describe it to you. It involved a woman who was not his wife. It was her assistant, supposedly just joshing, but it was very, very ill-conceived. Posting that picture, it caused him to temporarily, indefinitely step down. Now, by the way, there are 50 pastors who are saying, we'd like you to permanently remove Jerry Falwell. The story just got worse. Jerry released a press release, I believe, to the Washington Times, maybe the Post. This truly is ugly business. He explained his mental state has been a little bit rocky lately because of the affair that his wife was having with a family friend.
Ooh.
Nobody asked for it, but his wife, now with tire skids all over her, as she gets thrown under the Falwell bus, because apparently that justifies his terrible behavior. Now they've got a family mess on their hands. It can't be anything but horrific. The school most certainly has got to be going through an awful lot of upheaval and uncertainty and a buzz on the campus, which just opened up this week. This is why I bring it up, not to forward the gossip. This is all very public news. It's Washington Times. Be praying for Liberty University and the Board of Trustees there. It is a massive facility, huge impact. It reaches tens of thousands of students. It could be a huge, powerful impact, not for the political kingdoms, but for the kingdom of God. And these men, they need some backbone. They need it now. And they need to be strong. And rather than just using this as a tisk-tisk and gossip-mongering and, oh, look at this, and of course, blah, 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 be praying for that institution. Wouldn't you rather see them on a straight path of biblical evangelicalism than floundering? I certainly would. Back to the Democratic National Convention. I've kind of lost track of this transgender person.
We're going to have a panel looking at trans youth issues. We've been watching state legislatures, especially here in the South, targeting trans youth for trying to deny them access to health care, education, and even access to the right to play sports. Although, needless to say, the mishandling of the coronavirus by the current administration is affecting a lot of people's ability to play sports. But they've been particularly transphobic in schools.
On and on it goes. That's the Democratic Party. That is the party that evangelicals are using under the banner of social justice to bring in a Trojan political horse and encourage you to vote for people in that party. I do not know how a genuine believer can. Maybe he gets hit on the head. Maybe there was some sort of a tumor Short of that, I see no way that an evangelical can give an endorsement vote, even one, to anybody in a party like that. Thanks, Tucker. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.